Alien Interview, based on personal notes and interview transcriptions provided by Matilda O'Donnell McElroy. Editing and supplemental footnotes by Lawrence R. Spencer. From 2008 by Lawrence R. Spencer. 8 editorial guidelines used in this book. I have tried not to edit the material I received from Mrs. McElroy except to the degree necessary to make a logical sequence of the material she mailed to me. Wherever possible, I have quoted or transcribed her original written notes verbatim. In some instances, I have taken editorial liberty to add other information, or supplementary commentary which I feel will add useful definitions, or clarification to the information given in the official transcripts, or to her remarks or observations. These appear as a numbered footnote in the appendix at the end of the book. All footnote references, where possible, I copied verbatim from the Free Internet Encyclopedia website www.wikipedia.org. If information was not available through wikipedia.org, I used the popular internet search engine www.google.com to find a website reference that seemed most appropriate to the subject matter. Mrs. McElroy did not make annotation of dates in most of the documents, so I am not certain that the sequence of material matches the actual sequence of events, or sequence of the interviews, except as noted on the official transcripts themselves. Since it has been 60 years since the date of the interviews, and considering the age of Mrs. McElroy before her death, I reasoned that she did not necessarily have an acute recollection of exact names, dates and times, except as recorded in the transcripts of July 8 through August 12, 1947. The material in this book is organized into 3 different types. The following notations will be used to designate where these appear in this book. 1. Matilda O'Donnell McElroy personal notes, type font, Times Roman, 12. 2. Official transcript of interview, Courier New, 12. 3. 1. Footnote, type font, Arial, 10. Bold. The editor. 9. Definitions vested interest, a survival or non-survival plan or agenda which has been clothed to make it seem like something other than what it actually is. Any person, group or entity which prevents or controls communication to serve their own purposes, plans or agenda. Reference, page 37, The Oz Factress, by Lawrence R. Spencer. Mystery, an enigma or problem involving paradox or apparent contradiction, profound, inexplicable, or secretive quality or character. Reference, www.merriam-webster.com. 10. Introduction, The Mystery of UFOs and Extraterrestrials. If you have studied UFO phenomena at all, you are already familiar with the infamous Orson Welles radio broadcast of War of the Worlds, and the invasion from Mars 1, footnote, on October 30, 1938. This fictitious radio dramatization of an invasion of Earth by aliens incited a global UFO and extraterrestrial hysteria long before the UFO crash near Roswell, an M in 1947. During the past 60 years, since the alleged Roswell crash, there have been tens of thousands of reported UFO sightings. A global hysteria has emerged from evidence of what is presumed to be extraterrestrial phenomenon. Concurrently, the unrelenting denial of this phenomenon by the U.S. government has precipitated an uninterrupted flurry of accusations, counter-accusations, cover-up conspiracy theories, lunatic fringe speculations, scientific investigations, etc., etc., ad nauseam, and a growing multitude of similar alleged close encounters. My first thought when I received the package of documents from Mrs. McElroy was, this is just another set of majestic 12 documents. 2. Footnote, I am referring to a mysterious package reportedly received by mail in 1984 shortly after the death of the last surviving member of the so-called Majestic 12 Committee, alleged to have been organized by President Harry Truman shortly after the Roswell incident in 1947. There are several similarities to the Majestic 12 documents and the package I received from Mrs. McElroy. In the case of the former, an envelope was sent from an anonymous sender with no return address. It contained an undeveloped roll of film. That's all. On the roll of film were photos of documents that were assumed to be authentic by the recipient and his colleagues, whose vested interest, that is livelihood, depend heavily on attracting public notice and credibility to themselves as leading authorities on the subject of UFO phenomena. They have worked relentlessly since then to discover proof that the documents are authentic. Of course, government agencies deny everything alleged in the documents and anything having to do with the subject of extraterrestrials in general. In addition, the subject has become so thoroughly overwhelmed with obvious false reports, discredited sources, hearsay, manufactured falsehoods, misunderstandings, missing information, added inapplicable information, and a myriad of other conflicting complexities which have made the subject 11 laughable or unapproachable as a science. This may be intentional, or simply a reflection of the general chaos and barbarism that is humanity. As for government denials and cover-ups, the events of September 11, 2001, have made it abundantly apparent to me that the US government has destroyed any vestige of trust the American people and the world may have harbored, even through the Vietnam War, Watergate, and many similar betrayals, in the honesty of the American government, military, and intelligence community, by blatantly lying to its own people about almost anything and everything. In spite of vast numbers of UFO sightings, innumerable reports of alien abductions, and close encounters with extraterrestrials that pervade nearly all of prehistoric and recorded human history, I found only one underlying, unifying, undisputable, axiomatic common denominator that permeates all of this data, assuming that subjective reality, or beliefs, of individuals is acceptable evidence. There has been no universally agreed upon proof that UFOs and, or extraterrestrial life forms exist, whether based on government admission, physical evidence, circumstantial or subjective data. There are several deductions I can infer from the lack of agreement, government admission or physical evidence that such things are real that, if verified, may lead to a workable solution to this mystery. Deduction, in spite of an enormous collection of subjective, circumstantial and objective evidence of extraterrestrial activity on and around Earth. The existence, intentions and the activities of extraterrestrials remain hidden and mysterious. Deduction, universally agreed upon proof of extraterrestrial life based on subjective data, government admission, physical and circumstantial evidence are subject to conflicting vested interests, which has made such proof unattainable. Collectively, these deductions beg the obvious question: if extraterrestrials' life forms exist, why is there no consistent, forthright, open, interactive communication between mankind and extraterrestrials? Fortunately, subjective reality does not require evidence or proof. Therefore, I decided to publish this book in order to pass along a subjective communication I received from Mrs. McElroy to other people who may be interested in it. 12. Personally, I'm not assuming that anything I received from Mrs. McElroy is in any way authentic, with the exception of the envelope and the paper inside the envelope. I cannot substantiate any of it. Indeed, I can't truly verify that there was ever such a person as Mrs. McElroy other than a voice I heard over the phone in 1998. The voice could have been anyone. Personally, I do not have a vested interest in UFO research. Yes, I've written a few books about immortal spiritual beings, because I'm interested in the subject. But I haven't sold enough of those books to pay for the time it took to write them. It is a hobby. I earn my living as a small business consultant. It is not my intention to justify, explain, or remedy any disability to perceive or understand the mysteries of extraterrestrial existence, UFOs, government's agendas or spiritual abilities. Nor is it intended to educate, persuade, or promote to anyone that any of these phenomena exist. Furthermore, what I may or may not think about any of this is irrelevant. Moreover, I have burned all of the original documents, including the envelope I received from Mrs. McElroy. I do not want to spend the rest of my life being hounded by UFO researchers, government agents, grocery store tabloids reporters, UFO advocates and debunkers alike, or anyone else. any proofs or attempts to authenticate the assertion that Mrs. McElroy actually interviewed an alien in 1947 will have to be done by others. Ripley says, believe it, or not. 3. Footnote, I say, what's true for you, is true for you. Lawrence R. Spencer, editor. 13. About the source of material in this book. The content of this book is primarily excerpted from the letter, interview transcripts and personal notes I received from the late Matilda O'Donnell McElroy. Her letter to me asserts that this material is based on her recollection of communication with an alien being, who spoke with her telepathically. During July and August of 1947 she interviewed an extraterrestrial being who she identifies as L, and whom she claims was and continues to be an officer, pilot and engineer who was recovered from a flying saucer that crashed near Roswell, New Mexico on July 8, 1947. Obviously, anyone reading anything about this most famous, or infamous, of all flying saucer or alien encounter events must necessarily be highly suspicious regarding 1, the authenticity of the report and 2, the credibility of the source of information, especially when it appears for the first time 60 years after the alleged event. I received the aforementioned letter from Mrs. McElroy on September 14, 2007, together with a package of documents. The package contained 3 types of documents: 1, handwritten notes in cursive on ordinary, lined, 8.5x11 school notebook paper, which I assume had been written personally by Mrs. McElroy. 2, notes typed on a manual typewriter on plain, white 20-pound bond paper, which I am assume were prepared personally by her. At least both had the appearance of having been written in the same handwriting, and, or typed on the same typewriter consistently throughout. The writing in the notes I received also appeared to be the same as the writing on the address and return address of the Manila envelope I received from Niven, Ireland, which was postmarked on 3 September, 2007. Since I am not a forensic expert, or handwriting analyst, my opinion in these matter is not a professionally qualified judgment. 3. Many pages of typewritten transcriptions of her interview with the alien. These were obviously typed on a different typewriter. These pages were typed on a different type of paper and showed apparent signs of age and repeated handling. None of these notes were assembled in any particular order, or by date, except where indicated by a sentence or paragraph of preamble or explanation by her, or by extrapolation from the context of the pages. 14. Voltaire 4, footnote, is quoted as having said, "History is a Mississippi of lies." According to the comments made by the alien in the interview transcripts supplied by Mrs. McElroy, the fundamental lesson of history is that many, many gods have become men, but very few men, if any, have returned to being a god again. According to the alien being, L, if anything he, she, it supposedly communicated can be trusted, and if the translation or interpretation of this alleged communication is accurate, the history of this universe is a river of lies down which the might and freedom of all-powerful, godlike, immortal spiritual beings ended and was lost in a sea of matter and mortality. Furthermore, according to the very direct and undiplomatic statements made, which seem to express the personal opinion of the alien, if one were traveling the far reaches of the universe in search of a place called hell, it would be an accurate description of Earth and the inhabitants in its current condition. To further compound, complicate and magnify the incredible source of the interview transcriptions I received from Mrs. McElroy is the fact that they are, 1, based almost entirely on telepathic communication between the alien and Mrs. McElroy. 2, many of these interviews discuss paranormal activities of immortal spiritual beings. Of course, most scientific authorities are unwilling to acknowledge or perceive spiritual phenomena of any kind. The dictionary definition of the word paranormal is, adjective, 1. Cannot be explained by scientific methods. 2. Supernatural, or seemingly outside normal sensory channels. By definition, people who use the word paranormal are 1. Not able to explain spiritual phenomena and 2. Spiritual phenomena are outside of their normal sensory channels. In short, Scientists suffer from the inability and or unwillingness to perceive and or explain spiritual activities. Therefore, the discussion of 15 spiritual activities or spiritual universes in this book are expected to be understood only by those who can and will perceive such things. According to the time spans related by the alien in several of the interviews, there are a number of compelling and heretofore unknown reasons that suggest the possibility that many extraordinary miscalculations have been made by Earth scientists regarding the origins and antiquity of the universe, Earth, life forms and events. Of course, these may or may not be accurate either, as time and its ugly stepchild, history, are largely subjective. However, it can be observed that, by contrast with interstellar or macrocosmic time, the historical perspective of residents of Earth is limited to a relatively microscopic period of time, compared to what are considered to be recent events in the chronology of a space travel civilization, much less the entire time span of the universe. The geological record of Earth is reckoned, by the best guesses of scientists, to be only about 4 billion years. The antiquity of Homo sapiens in the archaeology textbooks is estimated at only a few million years, at most. Even the entire biological spectrum is considered to have existed on this planet for only a few hundred million years. And, by and large, the personal memory of individual beings on this planet is limited to only one lifetime. All other dates, events, or interpretations of events cited in this book are from terrestrial sources, which are purely subjective observations, conjectures, or inventions of human beings, including those of the author, and must therefore be credited or disregarded by the reader accordingly, considering the penchant of Earth inhabitants to myopia, egocentricity, and general ignorance of the several universes in which we dwell. This book is intended to be an informal presentation of information provided to me, 60 years after the fact, of a series of interviews between an alien spacecraft officer, pilot and engineer and an Army Air Force surgical nurse. 16 Matilda O'Donnell McElroy biographical information. Since I have never met Mrs. McElroy in person, and spoke with her over the phone only once for about 20 minutes, I cannot vouch personally for her as a credible source of information. In fact, I cannot factually substantiate that such a person actually existed, except that I did speak with her on the phone and I received handwritten material in the mail which was sent from a physical address in Ireland. I spoke to her on the phone in 1998. At the time of our brief phone interview, Mrs. McElroy lived on Scotty Pride Drive in Glasgow, Montana. I know this because I mailed a copy of my book, The Oz Factors, to her as a gift after it was published in 1999. I am sure she received the book, because she refers to it by name in the letter I received from Ireland, and says that she read it. I did a little research on the internet about Glasgow, Montana for my own interest. Glasgow was founded in 1887 as a railroad town that became popular during the 1930s because President FDR requested that Fort Peck Dam be constructed, which became a huge source of employment for the Glasgow area. In the 1960s, the population flourished up to 12,000 because of Glasgow Air Force Base, SAC, which was used during the Vietnam conflict and the earlier part of the Cold War. The base was deactivated and closed in 1969. When I talked to Mrs. McElroy on the phone, she mentioned that she had been relocated there by the U.S. Air Force after her service was completed, and that's where she met her husband, who was an engineer. I don't think she mentioned his first name. However, he worked on building the Fort Peck Dam, which created the massive Fort Peck Lake. Although the dam was finished in 1940, he was a great fisherman and outdoorsman, so he stayed in the area. I gathered that the Irish heritage of the place had something to do with it, but didn't pursue that point with her. I haven't been able to find any record of a McElroy who worked at the dam, but the personnel records from that period are virtually non-existent as far as I can determine. I contacted her during my research for the Oz Factors book because I was led to believe, through a very circuitous line of investigation, that this woman was suspected of having been involved with alien contact at Area 51, or the Roswell crash site, or something similar. 17 Through a sequence of circumstantial inferences and accidental referrals, I actually found a number in the phone book and called just on the chance that there might really be such a person. Needless to say, when I called her, she was less than forthcoming in her response to my questions. However, I think she was impressed by my genuine and innocent sincerity to get information for my book, and realized that I had no nefarious or financially motivated purposes or reason to exploit her in any way. Nonetheless, she did not give me any useful information at that time, except to say that she had been in the army and was stationed in New Mexico in 1947. She could not discuss anything whatsoever about any kind of incident, as her life depended on remaining silent. Although this piqued my interest even more, it was futile to try to push her any further, so I gave up and forgot about her until last September, when I got the package from Ireland. I tried to contact her in Ireland at the return address on the package, but received no reply from her, nor have I been able to find anyone in Meath County, Ireland who was acquainted with either of them except the landlady from whom they rented a room for a few weeks before their deaths, which seemed to have occurred simultaneously, although I have no real evidence of this. However, the postmark of the envelope she sent to me was stamped at the post office in Navan, Company Meath, Ireland on the date cited above. Since there is an actual residence, according to Google Maps, at the return address shown on the envelope, I wrote to the address and was advised by the homeowner that both Mrs. McElroy and her husband, whose name turns out to have been Paul, were both recently deceased. She said that the cremated remains of Mrs. McElroy and her husband were interred at St. Finian Cemetery on Athboy Road. Subsequently, I have not been able to find any record of her under the maiden name of O'Donnell, nor have I had any success at discovering any personal friend, family member or document to confirm her birth, medical education, or military record, marriage or death, with the exception of her landlady in Ireland, who is not a relative, just before her death. I suspect that this is the false identity given to her by the military when she left Roswell, as mentioned in her notes. In either case, it seems likely that her identity and all evidence of her has been expunged from the public record. I understand that certain government agencies are adept at covering up evidence, or making records, and people disappear. It seems likely that this has been done in her case, due to the 18 highly sensitive nature of the Roswell incident and consistent with the rest of the alleged cover-up. Inasmuch as I do not have any further information to verify or substantiate that any of the notes of these interviews sent to me by Mrs. McElroy are in any way factual, other than what I have already mentioned, let the reader beware, and take heed accordingly. 19 The letter from Mrs. McElroy _ August 12, 2007 Dear Lawrence, I am typing this letter to you on my old Underwood typewriter 5, footnote, that I bought after I was discharged from the army. Somehow it seems like a fitting contrast to the subject of this letter and the documents you will find enclosed in this envelope. The last time I spoke to you was about 8 years ago. During your brief telephone interview with me, you asked me to assist you with the research for the Oz Factors book you were writing because you suspected that I might know something that would help your investigation into the possibility that extraterrestrial beings may have influenced the history of Earth. When we spoke, I told you that I did not have any information that I could share with you about anything. Since then, I have read your book and found it very interesting and compelling. You are obviously a man who has done his homework, and who could understand my own experiences. I've been thinking a lot about your allusion to the old philosopher whom you paraphrased in our phone conversation, "With great power, comes great responsibility." Although I don't think power is pertinent in my life or to my reasons for sending you the enclosed documents, you certainly did get me thinking about my responsibility. I have reconsidered my position, for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is my realization that you were right. I do have a responsibility to myself, at least. I cannot possibly tell you the personal hell 6, footnote, of ethical irresolution and spiritual ambivalence I have endured since 1947. I do not want to keep playing the game of maybe I should have, or maybe I shouldn't have, through the rest of eternity. 20 Many men have been killed to extinguish the possibility of revealing the knowledge I have helped to withhold from society, until now. Only a small handful of people on Earth have seen and heard what I have had the burden of keeping secret for 60 years. All those years I thought that I had been entrusted with a great deal of confidence by the powers that be in our government, although I have often felt that power is greatly misguided, to protect mankind from the certain knowledge that, not only do intelligent extraterrestrial life forms exist, but that they have and continue to aggressively monitor and invade the lives of everyone on Earth every day. Therefore, I think the time has come to pass along my secret knowledge to someone I think will understand it. I don't think it would be responsible of me to take the knowledge I have into the silent afterlife, beyond reach or recognition. I think there is a greater good to be served than protecting the vested interests for whom this information is considered a matter of national security, whatever that means, and is therefore justification for making it top secret. 7. Footnote, also, I am now 83 years old. I have decided to leave this body, which has outlasted its usefulness to me, using a painless method of self-administered euthanasia. 8. Footnote, I have a very few months to live, and nothing to fear or lose. So, I have moved away from Montana, where my husband and I lived for most of my life, to spend our remaining days in a lovely rented upstairs bedroom in a house in the homeland of my husband's family in County Meath, Ireland. 9. Footnote, I will die not far from the great mound at Noth 10, footnote, and Douth, the fairy mound of darkness. These are sacred cairns or massive stone structures that were erected about 3700 BCE and engraved with indecipherable hieroglyphs, about the same time as pyramids and other inexplicable stone monuments were being built all over the earth. I am also not far from the Hill of Tara, 11, footnote, that was once the ancient seat of power in Ireland where 142 kings are said to have reigned in prehistoric and 21 historic times. In ancient Irish religion and mythology, this was the sacred place of dwelling for the gods and was the entrance to the other world. Saint Patrick came to Tara to conquer the ancient religion of the pagans. He may have suppressed the religious practices in the area, but he certainly did not have any impact on the gods who brought these civilizations to Earth, as you will discover when you read the documents enclosed. Therefore, this is a fitting location for my departure from this unholy world and final release from the burdens of this life. The crystal clear perspective of hindsight has revealed a higher purpose to me, assisting the survival of the planet, all living beings and life forms in our galaxy. The status quo of our government establishment has been to protect the people from knowledge of such matters. In fact, the only protection afforded by ignorance and secrecy is to hide the private agenda of those in power to enslave others. And, by doing so, to disarm every perceived enemy, and ally, through superstition and stupidity. Therefore, I have enclosed the original and only existing copies of my personal notes and reflections on a matter which I have kept hidden from everyone, even my own family. I have also enclosed my copies of typed transcripts created by the stenographer who transcribed all of my interviews with the alien saucer pilot after each interview was finished. I do not have any copies of the tape recordings that were made of my interview reports. No one, until now, knows that I was able to secretly retain copies of the official interview transcripts. Now I am entrusting these documents to your discretion to impart to the world in any form or manner you see fit. My only request is that you do so in a way that will not threaten your own life or well-being, if possible. If you were to incorporate these notes of my experiences into a work of fiction, such as a novel, the factual nature of the material could be easily dismissed or discredited by any agency for whom national security is used as a personal shield against scrutiny and justice. 22. In so doing, you could disavow any knowledge of their true origin, and claim that it is a fictitious work of your imagination. Whoever said that truth is stranger than fiction was right as rain. For most people, all of this will be unbelievable. Unfortunately, beliefs are not a reliable criteria for reality. Also, I am sure that if you were to show these notes to anyone that would prefer physical, economic or spiritual slavery over freedom, the subject matter contained in them would seem quite objectionable.